But this Shabbat is the Shabbat before Tisha B'Av. In fact, that this Shabbat is the ninth of Av, and if it was any other day of the week, it would be a fasting. But because it's Shabbat, we don't fast, and instead the fast is deferred till the next day, till Sunday. So Saturday night, or Saturday at sunset, we begin fasting, and that fast carries through till Sunday at when three stars come out. So at nightfall on Sunday. Now, on Shabbat, the Torah reading is the first section of the book of Dvarim, the book of Deuteronomy, and the Haftorah is from Isaiah chapter 1. And so here we have the beginning, Chazon Yeshaya. Now, Chazon, they always give a rather approximate translation in this system, unfortunately. Chazon Yeshaya literally means the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, ben Amoz, Asher Chazar al Yehudam Yerushalayim, which he saw, the visions he received about the area of Judah and Jerusalem. And then it gives a list of names of the kings through whose reign he lived and gave prophecies. Uzziah, Yotam, Ahaz, Yechizkiyahu, who were all Malchei Yehuda, kings of Judah. So he then, this beginning is a very critical statement about the Jewish people. Shimu Shamayim v'hazini eretz, listen heavens and give ear earth, ki Hashem diber, Hashem has spoken, banim gedalti, I have raised up children, v'omamti, I brought them up, v'heim pashubi, and they have sinned, they rebelled against me. And it goes on criticizing the Jewish people. And this is, you can see in the English here, sinful nation, people laden with iniquity, all kinds of negative statements. And it goes through until the end of this chapter, basically. And then there is suddenly a very interesting, well, it begins being positive. V'ashiva shoftayach kvarishona, I will return your judges as at the beginning. V'yotzayach and your counselors kvatchila as at the beginning. Achrechein yikarelach, after that you, Jerusalem, will be called Ir HaTzedek, City of Righteousness, Kiriya Ne'emana, the faithful city. And then we have this statement, Sion b'mishpat tipadeh, Zion will be redeemed through justice, right? It's a different translation to their English translation. V'shaveya b'tzdaka, and her repentant ones or her returnees will be redeemed Bitzdaka, through charity. So this is the basic phrase, which is the beginning of this discourse. Tzion b'mishpat tipadeh, Zion will be redeemed through mishpat. Now mishpat literally means justice or judgment, as they say in this translation. But the way the discourse interprets it is it means Torah. In fact, you could just look at the very straightforward term that mishpat means judgment, and the Torah is about judgment. The Torah has many laws concerning judgment. What do you do if, different things happen? How do you judge the case? A lot of the Torah is the written Torah and the oral Torah as well. It's precisely about that. But the discourse presents a more... It's a comment by the the way the Targum Onkelos, the Aramaic translation, translates it in a particular way when it's used in a different context. And that shows that it's halacha, it's Torah. And then Meshavea and its captives will be redeemed through tzedakah, through charity. So that is the basic concept here. And from this, we're going to go into now what I want to know is whether you can now see the discourse. Can you see the discourse? Yes, the Hebrew text.
You can. Very small.
It's very small. Okay.
Rabbi Kali.
I'll see if I can make it bigger. Okay, is that better?
That's pretty good, yeah.
Okay, love. Maybe
one more punch.
What?
Can you give it one more shtoch? That's it.
Okay. So now we have the Maima melody. So since it's the 9 days, we normally have my granddaughter's piano piece. She's staying with me at the moment, and we normally have her piano piece playing the melody of the Maima, but instead we will sing it because in the 9 days we're not going to play the piano. Oh ya 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 yo ya yo, ho ya ra ya ra yo ya yo, ha ya ba ya 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 yo yo, ho ya ra ram ba yom ba ra ram ba yom, ho ho ya ya ra ram ba yom ba yom. Ha yiriramba yamba yam, ha yiriramba ha yiriramba ho, ya ha ya ya yiriram, oh ya ya yiriram, oh ya ramba ya ya yo. Okay, so now we begin. Hello Chesed, nice seeing you as well. So I'm Jeffrey. Right. So Tziyum b'mishpati padeh v'shaveh b'tzedakah. So this from the last line of the Haftorah, Zion will be redeemed through justice or judgment or what it's by Torah learning. V'shaveh and its captives will be redeemed by tzedakah, which means charity. Hine pasuk zeh. Now behold this verse. Hu hasiyum v'achotam. This is the end. The haftarat parshat chazon of the haftorah for what we call the parsha of chazon. Right. Remember the haftorah began chazon Yeshaya, the vision of Isaiah. There's a whole concept about that because on the Shabbat before Tisha B'Av, it's as if we see a vision of the third temple, which is going to be built by Mashiach. That's the reason for calling it the Shabbat of the Chazon, the Shabbat of the vision, apart from the fact that the Haftorah begins with that word. V'yiduim hadrushim al pasuk zeh, and it's known the various Hasidic teachings on this verse. B'likutei Torah Pashatenu, in Likutei Torah by Rabbi Shneur Zalman, in our Sedra, in Dvarim, u'badrushim shel achrei zeh, and the Hasidic teachings after Rabbi Shneur Zalman, shekvar nitpasu, which has already been printed, d'chol inyan shebatfus hu d'dorot, and anything which is printed is for generations. Dehine pasuk zeh hu chelik mitorah, and this verse is a part of the Torah, and the Torah itself means lashon hora'ah. Torah should be teaching us something. It's not just something that we read, or even something that we learn, but it should be actually instructing us. It should be guiding us. V'hatorah hi nitzchit. Torah is eternal. And so therefore the guidance, the hora'ah, is also nitzchit. The guidance is eternal. Hainu shepasuk zeh, and that means that this verse, hu hora'ah nitzchit, is an internal guidance, ba'avodat ha'adam, for the service of the individual relating to God, b'chol makom, in every place, or b'chol zman, and in every time. So in other words, this verse, although we only read it usually at this point in the year, the Shabbat before Tisha B'Av, but it's actually always relevant. The mizeh muvan, from this we understood, shebechol avodat Yisrael, in the service of the Jewish people, yeshnam shnei ha'inyanim ha'tlaliyim, there are these two general concepts, hamadubarim b'pasuk zeh, which are mentioned in this verse. So this verse is speaking about something which is relevant to everyone. And that is, echad, one of them is, tzion b'mishpat tipaden, Zion will be redeemed through justice, and bet, v'shaveya b'tzdaka, its captives will be redeemed through charity. V'av shahavtara zu korim b'shabbat chazon, even though this haftarah is read on Shabbat Chazon, this particular Shabbat that we're coming to, shemizem muvan she'inyan zeh, from which we understand that this shayach dafka l'Shabbat Chazon, this relates particularly to Shabbat Chazon, b'chol zot, nonetheless, harezen nimshach gam b'chol yomot hashana. It applies in all the days of the year, lo rak b'Shabbat Chazon, not only this special Shabbat, k'mo shehu b'chol anyanim atluyim b'zman, as in fact everything that depends on time in Torah, da'av she'ikaram hu b'zman mesuyam, even though their main relevance is at a particular time, mikol makom nimshachim hein, nonetheless they extend achakach, later than that time, I'll call you Mot Hashanah, for all the days of the year. So every Jewish festival, everything that happens in Jewish teaching, in life, in Jewish life, connected with time, although it relates to a particular time, it's still relevant throughout the year. V'chayadua, as is known, hadugma lezem in mitzvah tzchirat yitziat mitzchayim. There is a mitzvah to remember the going out of Egypt. The Ikar mitzvah zu, and the main time for this mitzvah, Ibetet Vav Nisan, is at the first Seder night, the 15th of Nisan, Yom Yitziat Mitzrayim, and that's the day we went out of Egypt. So that's when we get together, we have the Seder night, we talk about going out of Egypt. But in fact, that applies all the days of the year. Umiyom Zeh, from that day, Hinim Shechet, it's drawn, I'll call you Mot Hashanah. It's drawn from all the days of the year. The Maskin in Yitzir Mitzrayim, because in fact, when it comes to the going out of Egypt, we mention the going out of Egypt v'chol yom, every day. Now, similarly, with what we're discussing here, v'al derech zeh b'inyanei, v'am she'ikai inyan d'tzion b'mishpat tipadeh, even though the main theme of Zion will be redeemed through justice and its v'shaveh b'tzdaka and its captives will be redeemed through charity, even though that shayach v'shabbat chazon, it relates to our Shabbat before Tisha B'Av, mikol makom nonetheless, hari mimena nimshach, from it is drawn down gam b'chol yomot hashana, through the whole year and every day of the year, this teaching is relevant. Now I'd like to stop over here for a moment and let's just see if we all understand what is being said. Rabbi Lou, would you like to comment on anything in this? Rabbi Lou, you're muted.
Yeah. Hi. No, I don't have any comment. Which year is this maimer from? I'm not home now and I have the wrong
person. I can see you're in the office. 1984.
Mem Dalet. Yes, I don't have my sperm here. I might go down and get the safer. I'm listening. Very beautiful. Okay. By the way, Mishpat in the Torah, where it speaks the story about Yosef and his dreams, and the dreams of the butler. So the butler told Yosef that I was told to go back to my post and it uses the words Kamishpat HaRishon. And the Targum, Unculus, translates as Kihilchaso. So it's like regular halachas, it's mishpat.
Yeah, that's how the discourse learns it out. But in fact, the word mishpat makes perfect sense in itself as meaning Torah.
Yes. Ela ha-mishpatim.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Right, okay. So, any comment by anyone else? Noga? You're muted. Lo shomim.
Sorry. No, I just said not yet.
Okay. All right. Okay. So let's come back. Right. Okay. Now, so what we're considering, you see, there are two aspects. There is what is being redeemed, right? Zion is redeemed. Zion and its captives are being redeemed. What does it mean by Zion and what does it mean by its captives? Now, obviously, we can think back, you know, when we're talking about the time of the destruction of the temple, Jewish people being taken captive, Zion itself, meaning Jerusalem and the temple. So that's what it means in its simple sense. But there is also, what does it mean for every individual? And so there is that which is being redeemed. That's one question we want to address and try to understand. And the second is, how is it being redeemed? And so basically it's told us it's redeemed through Torah and through tzedakah, through studying Torah and through giving tzedakah, which means giving tzedakah means all the mitzvot of the Torah, all the practical mitzvot. And the discourse is explaining this in detail. V'hinei b'pasuk zeh mevo'ah. Now in this verse it explains, sheyesh shnei inyanim, there are two aspects, shebehem tzarich liyot inyan ha-pdiya, in which there has to be the idea of redeeming something. That means something is captive, it's held away from where it's supposed to be and it has to be got back. One is tzion, and the second is v'shaveya, it's captive. U'pu'olat ha-pdiya behem, and the effect of redeeming them, also takes place through the two different things. The habdiyah, the b'chinat Zion, when we talk about redeeming Zion, that's through the mishpat, that's through mishpat, which is, we're going to explain its Torah. The habdiyah, the b'chinat v'shaveya, and the redemption of the captives, he al-yedeh tzedaka, is through charity. V'tzarich la'avin ma'hi ha'hora'ah b'shebezeh. We have to understand what is the teaching here, what is the instruction to us, ba'avodat ha'adam lekono, in the service of an individual to his or her creator. The ani nivreti l'shamesh et koni. I, each one of us can say, I was created to serve my creator. So these words in the Torah and these words in Isaiah must have some meaning for that task. Gam tzarich lahavin. We also have to understand, al pi hayadua, as it's well known, shegam seder b'Torah Torah hu, that the order in which Torah is written is itself a teaching. Ma'u tam seder pasuk. What's the reason for the order in the verse? The bitchila, the beginning, tev tzion b'mishpat tibadeh, Zion will be redeemed through justice, Torah. And then it's got the second part of the verse. Well, so why is it this one first and then that one? Now the explanation is, as explained in these many Hasidic discourses on this theme, going back to the early 19th century or the late 18th century, right down through the generations. Dehine Peiris Tzion, when it says Tzion, like Zion, who kipshutosho mikra, in the simple reading of the biblical text, Tzion means hu lishon siman. It's like a sign. Kamoshe katuv, as it says, there's a verse, uvana etzlo Tzion. Someone built like building a sign, you know, could be a grave. A grave is called a Tzion as well. Building a sign, building a monument. So Tzion is a kind of monument. It indicates something. Now, when you have a monument to something, you have a sign of something. B'chol siman yesh bo shnei tchunot ha'pchiyot. Every sign, this is an area of thought called semiology, the science of signs. So in the science of signs, every siman, every sign, yesh bo shnei tchunot ha'pchiyot. There are two opposite qualities. The mitzad echad, from one point of view, on the one hand, hasiman eina hadava atzmo, the sign is not the thing itself, eila hu siman al hadava, it is a sign for the thing, al hadava hu bilvad, it's just a sign for that thing, it's not the thing itself, it's a sign for that thing. Ula eidach yisa, but on the other hand, mikevan shu siman hadava zeh, since it's a sign for this thing, Muchach sheyesh bo mashu, it must be that it's got something inyano shel hadavar, of something to do with that thing shehu siman alav, which it signified. Let's take a traffic light. So traffic light, you've got three lights on the traffic light, and the one light is red, and the red light means you've got to stop. And then the green light means you can go. So on the one hand, these are just different colors. But very widely in our culture, the color red is used to indicate danger. And the color green is used to indicate everything's all right. And so that's a... even though it's just a cultural thing, you know, it could have been that there with you, you'll find a tribe somewhere where it's the other way around. Green is the color of danger and red is the color that everything is okay. But there's some sense in which the red, which is a sign for telling you to stop because it's dangerous to cross the road or to drive on. So it's also in the red color, there is something which expresses danger. And other signs, I'm sure people can think of other examples of a sign where on the one hand, it's just simply a sign. And on the other hand, it shares something with the thing it signifies. Or mizemuvan, from this we can understand. The inyan Tzion, when we say Tzion, Zion, and we're talking about the individual, that ka'e al hanefesh alakit shebi Yisrael. That is talking about the divine soul which is in the Jew. Dehine al hanefesh alakit, because concerning the divine soul, mevayah Rabbeinu Azakein b'Tanya, the Rabbi Shneur Zalman explains in Tanya, this is what he says. First of all, he explains the animal soul. He talks about the animal soul within the individual, the soul which wants to eat and has lust and other passions. And then, v'hanefesh hashenit b'Yisrael, and the second soul in the Jew, he chelek elokan yimal mamash, is a portion of God, a veritable portion of God. So there we have this little bit of godliness inside each individual. So there we see that the divine soul has got the two qualities that we said are in the Shabbos Siman, which are in the sign. On the one hand, the divine soul in the person isn't actually God, It signifies God. It signifies God above. Uko safat admo azaken, as Rabbi Shneidman says, mamash. Verily, it signifies God. That's why it's called a portion of the divine. Because when you hold something which is the portion, mina etzem, of the essence, you're holding the whole thing. So in other words, the divine soul has this affinity with the divine, even though it's not actually the divine. But it's got this very close affinity with the divine. But on the other hand, siman bilvad, it's just a sign. That's why it's only called a portion of the divine. It's only a portion, it's not actually the divine. And that's why it's called the second soul. The first soul is the animal soul. And then it's the second soul. Because the way the divine soul is enclosed in the body, it means it's second. As the sages said, the evil desire, the selfish lust and passion of the person, that comes first. A child wants, it wants to eat, it wants this, it wants that. If we didn't socialize the child at all, right? If we didn't socialize the child, it would just, hi Jeremy, it would just be filled with passion, desiring things, wanting things, screaming till it got that thing. The whole process of the bringing up of a little child slowly, step by step, what can be called socialization, so that it learns to behave properly in this way, it's toilet trained, it behaves properly in that way, it learns how to sit at a table and to hold a knife, first a spoon, and later on a fork, and later on a knife and fork, right? So just slowly, this slow development of the child. But if you didn't give any of that input, it would just be a wild little thing getting bigger and bigger. In a very wild way. So that is like the animal soul active. And then you have the second soul, which is the divine soul, which we speak of particularly entering the person at bat mitzvah for a girl at 12 years old and at 13 for a boy. That's when the divine soul really comes into play and starts having an effect on the person, that there is a spiritual prod in the person. Of course, you often see little children who have very, very spiritual qualities to them. And indeed, the one of the ideals of spirituality is a little child, the purity of a little child. The Tzemach Tzedek, the third Lubavitcher Rebbe, said he wants to pray with the purity and focus of a little child who is praying. So that's certainly the little child does have all kinds of spiritual qualities as well. But then there is the idea of the divine soul, and there's this whole complex quality within the person. The divine soul on one hand and the animal soul on the other. And the divine soul is what we're seeing as tzion. That is the tzion, that is the sign, that it's something which signifies the divine. And in a sense, it is the divine. So it's got both qualities. So it's not just the red color, which signifies danger. It's actually got the quality of godliness within it. And that quality of godliness is inside each of us. But then there is the animal soul. And that's the next part to explain, what does it mean? It's captives. So that's what we're going to come to in a moment. But at first, we're just, and this Zion, this very spiritual part of ourselves sometimes needs to be redeemed, that it gets caught in a situation, it gets caught, whether it is in the affairs of the body and of the desires of the animal soul, and the situation of life in this world limits the divine soul, and it's it's limited in some sense. It's captive, and that needs to be freed. And then we come to the other dimension, the Shaveya, that it's captives, which is another aspect of the person. But are there any comments at this moment? Rabbi Lu, any comment on that? Okay.
Can I ask something, Rabbi Talib?
Yes, Jeffrey. Yes.
If a person has a problem, can it be that it's not only been captured by the other side? Can it be through a tikkun, through something else?
A tikkun, you use the word tikkun, means repairing. That's putting right the problem.
Yes, so you're going through a situation that's being in the process of being rectified.
That's why the person has a problem, because it needs to be rectified. Is that what you mean?
So, you're saying it's been captured by the other side.
Well, that's the situation of the divine soul. The divine soul nestles in our animal soul and in our body and in all the limitations that means. You're quite right, that needs tikkun, that means repair, and that's really the process of our life, going through trying to achieve that repair.
But it doesn't mean it's been, or is it captured then, as you use your word?
Well, being captured is a very subtle term. What does it mean, being captured? Like there's the story of the man holding the bear. You know, is it the man holding the bear or the bear holding the man?
Okay. So, all right, thank you.
Okay. Any comments on that, Rabbi Lu?
No, not yet.
Okay.
I got the book, though. I went downstairs to read.
Thank you. Fine, lovely. Now, the second thing. So that first thing is, so now we're on line 28 of the second page. Now, that's Tzion, that's Zion, that means the divine soul. When we're talking about the individual, when we talk about the land of Israel, Zion means Jerusalem, the temple. But and Jewish history. But when we're talking about the individual now, so the divine soul is Tzion, and then the captives. Who are the captives? Now, in history, the captives are the Jews who were taken captive by the Babylonians, the Romans, whoever it was. But now we're talking about in our personal life today in 2022, these captives. Now, they can be spoken about as those which come back. Now, because there are two... One second. In the word Shoveya, which I've been translating, it's captives. There are two explanations. One is shiva v'chazara, that means getting something back. V'shaveya also means it's those which...
Been captured.
Sorry?
Been captured.
Those that have been captured. Shavim Shalom.
Shavim means the returnees, and Shavuyim means the captive. The returnee can be someone who went away for whatever reason, but they're not captive by someone else. The captive is under someone else's control.
Right, right. And so it means both.
Yeah. Well, those are the two translations of the word shaveha.
Yeah, yeah. So the first one here is the ones that come back. And the second v'shaveh kamo u'shvuya. Shvuya means it's captive. Hainu ha'shvuyim shana. That means it's captive. The Leferish HaRishon, when we have the first translation, the very fact they have to come back, it means that at this moment, they are not in the place they're supposed to be. And that's why we talk about them as they're away, they're somewhere distant. Similarly with the second explanation. Had inyana shivya, captivity, moreshe eino bimkomo, means it's not, the person who's a captive is not in the place, his true place. Bahari al nefesh elokit, and now on the divine soul, eino shaykh lomash eino bimkomo. You can't say really that it's not in its place because the divine soul is always godliness. Now, even though in some sense the divine soul needs to be redeemed, but it can't actually be caught, right? There's a subtle distinction here. And he explains this, the quality of the divine soul, by comparing the divine soul to the Torah. Now, we could look at it as from arguing from a light thing to a more severe thing, from an argument a fortiori, as it's called. Ma ala Torah amru, about the Torah they said, halo, the sages said, halo ko dvarai dvari ke'esh, my word is like fire. Ma esh enu mekabel tuma, just as fire cannot acquire impurity. Kach divrei Torah, similarly, the words of Torah cannot acquire impurity. Torah is not changed wherever it is. And so therefore, Torah can come down into the lowest aspect of life, and it's still the sacred Torah. Hare kol shekein, shekein hu benogeh l'nshama. How much more so is that the case with the soul? That wherever the soul is, it's in a holy situation. Now, I must say, Rabbi Lu may disagree with this, but this is not universal idea in Chabad Hasidic thought. It does talk about the animal soul, the divine soul being captured, and as it were, in being in a very difficult situation. In spiritual terms. And here we have the Rebbe emphatically presenting the idea that the divine soul is always pure and the divine soul is always good and is always free. I mean, it's always good and pure. The question is whether it's free. And here the Rebbe is emphasizing that this aspect of Hasidic thought, which could be presented, if you look in the earlier sources, could be presented in different ways. This is an extremely positive approach to the individual, because really what it's saying is that a person could be in the worst kind of case of, you know, completely not relating in any way to Jewish consciousness, Jewish teaching, or any way denying it, doing terrible things against it in one way or the other. And nonetheless, the soul is pure and beautiful and wonderful, and in a sense is free. That's really what is it? It's in a sense, it's pure. And to be able to see, if you apply this in social terms, to be able to see that the soul is free, is holy, and is having an effect in various ways might seem to come out in a negative way, but in fact, the deep down, it's the soul thirsting for godliness and trying to express it.
Yeah. In this mimer, it's as you say, deep down, it's talking about the essence of the soul is not captive. It's there, and it's suffering, and it's in distress, and it needs redeeming. But it's there. It's in its regular place, and it's being thwarted, and it's being blocked from having the effect it wants to have. And on a lower level, there's the captivity.
Yeah.
Like as the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya in chapter 24, that even at the worst moment, then the soul was ba'om le'ito. It was totally faithful, but it was forced, as it were, because the person is one person. And at essence, the divine soul is what gives me life. And therefore, if the other aspects of myself, if I give them control, who is animating them? The divine soul. So it's being taken into captivity, not into exile, let's say, but it's still always there. That deep down, as you call it, that deep down level of it is always loyal, and that's not what its redemption is, that it should be able to be functional and effective with the rest of the person's psyche.
Thank you very much. Umize muvan, and from this it's understood she'inyan ha-shivya, that the captivity she'tochno hu she'nimtzed she'lo b'mkoma, which basically means that it's captive, it's not in its rightful place. It cannot be said, that's not the way you can describe the divine soul. So we have to say, that it's captives, which are in the wrong place, kai al halabushim, concerns the garments, which potentially they're the garments of the divine soul, but now they've been moved to a different place. Sheheim machshava, dibur u'maaseh, thought, speech, and action. The person's thought is not in the sacred place, and his speech and his action. Shaleim shaykh lomah, and about them we could say, she'einam nimtzaim b'mkomam, that they are not found in their place, over mam adam, in the situation, umatzavam ha'amiti, their true situation. V'heim mitlapshim b'nefesha ba'amit, and they are enclosed in the animal soul, the guf and the body, v'chelko ba'olam, and one's portion in the world, like one's clothes, the home that one lives in, the food that one eats, all around this, or shekaye ala guf atzmo, or it's talking about the physical body itself, all that is like things that can be taken captive. The body can be functioning in the wrong kind of way, its interest, its thoughts, the things it says, the things it does, might be very much askew from what the Torah demands a person to do. And so in that sense, the body is functioning outside, like the beautiful sphere of radiance of Torah teaching. And so in that sense, the body is captive, and its thought and speech and action are captive. But the tziyot, the inner quality, that doesn't go out of its, it can't be taken captive. But I think the way Rav Aliu put it is a very apt way of putting it. It is not able to be effective. So it's not, if we think of a king who has been deposed and he's still in the palace, The only thing is, before, when he issued an instruction, everyone jumped and did what he told them to do. Now the revolution has happened, and the king is deposed, and for the time being, he's still in his palace. maybe that is the mashal. Maybe that's an image. While his soldiers, you know, they have been taken away. They've been, the king's soldiers can no longer operate. They've been stripped of their weapons, and they've been put in prison or something like that.
Can I just give a little take on that? Even if the king was taken into prison, you find people that were in prison, Jewish, non-Jewish, that, and they maintained a certain their spiritual power. They were not, they were thwarted, and they were blocked, but they didn't change.
Yeah. the film The Bridge on the River Kwai is about a British officer who refuses to be treated in the same way as the ordinary soldier. Even though the Japanese torture him, he absolutely refuses to be treated the same way as the ordinary soldiers because he's an officer. So he even though he's been captured by the Japanese. Okay. Thank you. Uveya inyunhu. Now the explanation of it further is, hinei yadua, now it's known, the chlalut avodat ha'adam, the real, the general service of the person, hi biyoto, is when that person is neshama baguf, the soul in the body. Now, once you say the soul in the body, it's like a situation of conflict. The soul wants one thing, the body wants something else. Ochanoda, as is known, the inyan matan Torah, about the whole idea of the giving of the Torah, shahayan shamod begufim dafkam. It was particularly to souls in bodies. The Talmud tells of a kind of argument in heaven. Should the Torah be given below to human beings? And Moses manages to win the argument with the angels, showing that the Torah is being given to souls in bodies in the physical world. And then another aspect of this, as it's explained elsewhere in Hasidic teaching, the matan Torah hayadavka, the giving of the Torah was in such a way, but often shovayered Hashem al Hasinai. It says when in the account of the giving of the Torah that God descended on Mount Sinai. It doesn't say v'lo shehela kadosh baruch hu et Yisrael nishmei Hashemai. It doesn't say God lifted the Jewish people up to heaven. Ela hirkinet kiseh hakavod, but on he lowered his throne of glory, so to speak, v'hashamayim, v'shmei hashamayim, in the different levels of heaven, he lowered the malaha gashmi onto the physical mountain. The Lord, and then there's another aspect to this. Ele shiyarida zu, the fact that there was this divine dimension which descended on the mountain, pa'ala pu'ulani keret begashmiyot, it caused something that physically you could see on the mountain. Kamosha Katuv, as it's written, Vaha Sinai Ashan Kolo, the mountain was completely smoking, it was covered with smoke. And the Inyan Hayashan, the reason for the smoke, Mored indicates, Shaita Kanit Labshut Betoch Kashmiutaha. There was an enclosing of spirituality in the physicality of the mountain. Here the Rebbe is giving an explanation. That image, which in the book of Exodus is extremely dramatic, and it speaks about the way the mountain is belching smoke, but it doesn't say why. You know, why is the mountain belching smoke, covered with smoke? And so here it's giving an explanation. But Mount Sinai was a, with the giving of the Torah, was a confluence of two very powerful contrary forces of the physical, the material dimension of the mountain and the spirituality of the divine. And the effect of that coming together was producing smoke. And Ushvirat HaMenaged. Now, the Menaged here, the Menaged means the thing opposing. Physicality, in a sense, can be seen as opposing spirituality. Physicality wants to reduce everything to physical, tangible, sensuous terms. And the spiritual dimension wants to see the expression of the divine, of the infinite, of the holy. It's two different ways of looking at the same thing. In fact, there's a book called Hayom Yom, Day by Day, From Day to Day, and it has a passage generally taken from the teachings of the previous Rebbe or letters by him. It was edited by our Rebbe when in 1943, before he became Rebbe. And the teaching for today is about the way in everything there's the spiritual dimension and the physical dimension. And it's up to us which we choose. Do we choose to entangle with the spiritual dimension, which is holy? Or do we choose to entangle with the physical dimension, which is something to do with sensuality, materialism, and so on? So this coming together of the divine on Mount Sinai is really that the material and the spiritual came together, and in such a way that there was a kind of a breaking through of some force of this materialistic dimension. That's really what our life in this world is all about, because the world is limited by its material dimension. And that's what makes people see only material reality instead of spiritual reality. And because of that, people are able to steal money from someone, do other kinds of crime, while there's war. That if we could see the spiritual dimension, no one would, if we saw souls, no one would shoot a soul, right? So there would be peace. But we see bodies, we don't see souls. And we often, people who are trying to kill people, they often harden themselves. So they don't see the body as a human being, they demonize it, so that it makes it easier for them to kill it, God forbid, to wipe it out. So this conflict between the physical and the spiritual is what was taking place at Mount Sinai, and it's expressed by the smoke pouring out of Mount Sinai. And similarly, the whole idea of the Torah is the Torah is given to give, bring peace to the world. Torah comes into the world. Now, what's our world like? The world does not have peace. And the effect of Torah in it is intended to be he, la'asot bo shalom, to make peace in the world. And in fact, by the fact that the Torah emphasizes certain things and it's had an effect on much, much wider than the Jewish people themselves, elements of the Torah have entered Christianity, have entered Islam, and other philosophical concepts as well from the Torah. Even communism, Marxism, has got a Torah dimension in its origins. So the concern for the poor, for example. So this, the concern for each individual. So the effect of the Torah is to make peace in an unhappy world. The Mikol Zemuvalin, from all this we understand, Shinyan Avodat Adam, that the service of the person, who bin shamot begufin dafka, is when the soul is within the body. Whether it's Tzion, which is the divine, or the captives, which are the thought, speech, and action of the person, Kai al hanashama melubeshet baguf. It's talking about the soul enclosed in the body. Ele shebeze gufa yesh shnei inyanim. But in this itself, there are two aspects. One is tzion, which means the neshama itself, hanefesh elokid, the divine soul. Veshaveya and its captives means the levushim, the garments. Shehei machshava diburu maaseh. They are the thought, speech, and action, hamitlabshim b'nefesh ba'amid, which are enclosed in the animal soul, v'guf, and the body of the person, v'chelko b'olam, and the immediate material things around us, our clothes, our homes, or shekaye al haguf atzmo. Now the Rebbe repeats this and said it before, or the whole thing is simply about the body. So you could say Tzion is the soul, and Veshaveya is the body. And so both aspects of the person have to be together. And that's what we're trying to do, is bring both aspects of the person into this spiritual dimension, into a dimension where they are free in spiritual terms, and spirituality and holiness is able to shine through them. But when we talk about the soul, its power is limited. It's still got this princely quality. It's not actually moved to a place which it's far away, but it is not being effective, and that's its exile. Whereas the thought, speech, and action, the body, what the person is really involved in, and all the different things that people can get involved in, they can be in addictions, they can get themselves into situations they find it extremely hard to extricate themselves from, negative situations of all kinds. And so that is the captivity, and we're trying to redeem the body from that activity. So far we've spoken about the aspects of the person which are in some sense captive, and now we have to address how to get them out of this situation. And that's the next part. Now, the work of redemption, of redeeming these qualities, both of these qualities. Now we come to mishpat, literally judgment or justice, and staka, charity, and they mean Torah, learning Torah, and staka. Now, staka means giving charity, but in this discourse, as he'll say in a moment, it means all the practical mitzvah. Anything which is a practical thing that we do, lighting candles for Shabbat, eating kosher food, all the different things that we do in the physical world as guided by the Torah, that's included in this term staka, charity. As it says in this book of Hasidic teachings by Rabbi Shneur Zalman, the mishpat inyano hilchot haTorah. When it says mishpat, justice, it means the laws of the Torah, as Rabbi Alu said before, kamo shetigem unkelos ala pasuk, as the Aramaic Targum presents on this verse, kamishpat harishon, that the butler went back to his original service, kehilchata kadmaita, to his earlier laws. The service of the butler was with all kinds of rules and laws, and so he went back to that situation. So that means mishpat can be understood as laws. And now then there's a very interesting passage. We're proving this word from the Aramaic commentary, right? So we made the point before that the word mishpat in Hebrew could be understood as meaning law, like mishpatim, the sedra which comes after chapter Yitro, where the Torah is given, and then the next section of the Torah, the next sedra is ve'era mishpatim. These are the laws you should put before them. And so mishpat means itself laws, Jewish law, Torah. But the discourse is bringing the proof from a comment, from explaining the Aramaic Targum. Now that is very relevant, says the Rebbe. The Yesh Lomar, one can suggest, The fact that the source of this idea is the Targum Onkelos, it's in the Aramaic Targum, by a man called Onkelos, who was a proselyte to Judaism, a very close associate and student of Rabbi Akiva. And with Rabbi Akiva's guidance, he wrote a Aramaic translation of the Torah. And so that Aramaic translation is of a very exalted nature. Why is it in the Aramaic? It's because that relates to what the whole subject, what we're talking about. Because it says in a certain place in Hasidic teaching, concerning the sifting of the languages of the nations of the world, and transforming them to holiness, by the fact that we use the languages of the world, like now we're speaking in English, and in another place they talk in French, and somewhere else, whatever language you want. So the way that the languages, the different languages of the world can be used for Torah, that is using that language for holiness. And that's a transformation of that language. And so, v'zeh gam tochen ha'inyan ha'mavoh kan, that's also what it's being explained here. Pidyon min ha'galut v'ha'shivya, redeeming something from exile and captivity. So, Targum Onkelos, the Aramaic Targum, is in a sense, that's a non-Jewish language, but by being used in this way in order to show that when it says Mishpat, it means Torah, we are in some sense redeeming that aspect of the Babylonian language, that Aramaic, which the Targum is written. Like we're using English now to study this, and in another place they're using French or Chinese or whatever it might be. Behinei ha-hefrish bein Torah u'tzdaka. Now the difference between Torah and tzdaka, Mavor b'chama mekomot, is shown in a number of places. Shehu enyan shnei ofanei hiluch. There's two kinds of movement. Halicha melemayla lemata, a movement from above to below. V'halicha melemata lemayla, a movement from below to above. The haTorah inyana, the nature of Torah, hu halicha melemayla lemata, it's a movement from above to below. U'kmo shekatov, as it's written, Min haShamayim ishmiyacha et kolo. God let you, Moses is speaking to the Jewish people, God let you hear his voice from heaven. So God is speaking to us from heaven. Chanan, as we mentioned before, Shehirkin haShamayim ushmei haShamayim, that God bent down the heavens and the heavens of the heavens in order to this force of spirituality should come down into the world, and from the mountain, so to speak, from heaven, the Torah comes to us. So it's a movement from above down. And then it's a very interesting thing that we alluded to before, the gambiot haTorah lamata. Now also, when the Torah is below, nimshala le'esh, it's compared with fire. Kamosha Katuv, as the verse says, Halo Kodvarai Ka'esh, my words, says God, my words, my Torah words are like fire. Ha'esh Tivon Alot Mamala. Now, fire has the nature of rising above. The Im Canaan, this so, Zesha Torah Hilamata, the fact that Torah has come all the way down to our world and it's talking about things relating to our lives and the things that are going on, like all the discussions among rabbis with COVID, should you do this, should you do that, different aspects of this, and whatever the situation on the ground, the sages of the time have to look at how the Torah gives guidance for that particular moment. So even though if the Torah is below, it's because the Torah has a continuous flow of a flow that's coming from above to below. Now that's a fascinating thing. that the Torah all the time is an expression of a flow coming from above. So even when the Torah seemingly is in our world and it's talking about practicalities in our world, but yesh lomar, one can suggest, zeh gam kein tata ma shatorah nikret b'shem mishpat. That's another reason why the Torah is called mishpat, justice. Ki inyan mishpat, the word mishpat, can be understood moreh, is like something flowing from above to below, kmo shofet, like a judge. The position of the judge is higher than the situation he's judging. And he judges it from above to below. Yeah, the judge sits higher in the court very often. He is, so to speak, looking down at the different affairs that the court is discussing. Yes, two people have a terrible conflict. One lent the other person £10,000 and he says he didn't give it back. And the other one says, I did give it back. And they've got a whole argument. And now the judge has to decide. So the judge is sort of looking from a higher position down, so to speak, the position of the law. What does the law say about this particular situation? So that means Torah and various aspects of the way Torah operates are all an expression of from above to below. Where is charity? Charity means taking money, which is something low, so to speak, and using it in a positive way, giving it to a poor person. Tzedaka lifts up the people who give the tzedaka, it elevates them. She'inyanahu arama v'agba'ah, it's lifting them up. The person giving charity is elevated, and the person he's giving it to is also elevated. V'alderech zeh simli b'chlalut kol ha-mitzvot, as I mentioned before. So it applies to all the mitzvot. She'tzedaka hi chlalut kol ha-mitzvot. Giving charity is a kind of general concept of all the mitzvot. She'inyananhu, what are all the mitzvot about? Ha'la'at ha'dvarim ha'gashmiyim, elevating physical things, milamata lamayna, from below to above. So there we are, elevating things from below to above, and that's what the work of tzedakah is, bringing things from below upwards. And the Torah is taking something from above downwards. So we have those two motions at the same time, from above downwards and from below upwards. And in that way, we are redeeming every aspect of ourselves. So we can understand why the redemption of Zion, our divine soul within us, is through Torah. And the redemption of the captives, our thought, speech, and action, or our body, is through giving tzedakah. Because Torah is the idea that when the Torah comes from above to below, it's still the same. Dvarai ka'esh, the Torah is like fire. And that relates to the divine soul, which is a portion of the divine above, a real portion of the divine. And so therefore the divine soul comes down and it's still divine. And so therefore Torah, which comes from above, comes down to the divine soul, and the Torah is still sacred, it's still like words of fire. Where is charity? And other practical commands, the way it works is the poor person who has to be elevated from his situation. And that's what it means, the returnees, the captives. They are being redeemed in this way through tzedakah, through the practical mitzvah. So there's the soul and the body. And the soul is redeemed through Torah, and the body is redeemed through mitzvah. So this we can understand. Why does it talk about the soul first? Because the Torah comes before the mitzvah. And the very simple thing, we can't do the mitzvot unless we learn what the mitzvah is supposed to be. We learn it in the Torah, we learn it in the code of law. And similarly, when we go into a more inward dimension, that is the way in which the power to keep the mitzvot is through the Torah, which comes from above. Now, so here we have the idea that we see that so far it seems that the soul is high and the body is low, and the Torah comes to redeem the soul, and the mitzvot, which are like from below, the giving of charity, that is lifting up the body, which is low. But here we have a very interesting statement. Of them, however, this idea of its returnees, we are redeemed by charity, which is talking about the body. In fact, when the body is returned in this way, the practical mitzvot ensure that the body goes even higher than the soul. Once the body is redeemed through keeping the mitzvot in the proper way, the body reaches higher than the soul. Because the body also has a divine quality. Because nothing makes itself, and everything is a background of the divine, which is within it, and that's the divine power which is in the body, making the body exist. But we don't feel that. But the very fact that we don't feel it indicates that the divine quality of the body is on a very exalted level, because anything which is higher up falls down lower. And so the fact that we don't feel the spirituality of the body most of the time, that indicates how exalted that spirituality really is. And through charity and the other mitzvahs, we achieve that there should be a turning back and a repentance, which shaveya can also mean the word repentance, tshuva. And the returning back and repentance is to its source, to a source which goes higher and higher and higher. And that is the idea. Let's just see what page we're on. We're just at the end of the discourse. That's the idea of Zion will be redeemed through Torah and its captives by Tzedakah and other mitzvot. Zion means the essence of the soul, which we have to redeem. And the captives are the way the soul is in the body, or the garments of the soul, the thought, speech, and action, that we have to bring about in them the elevation from below to above, from the deep pit to the high roof. And this redemption is through these two dimensions of surface, drawing down from above to below and from below to above. And through this we get also from above the idea that the divine comes and dwells and walks among us. And it says about the way that the divine does this, which it says in the Torah, Bechukotai, v'hitalachti b'tochachem, I will walk among you. And the word hitalachti is a funny double expression. Dekai al shtei b'chinot hiluch. It's talking about two kinds of walking, as it explains in various places. And here is a very beautiful passage. That at the beginning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ozro, at the beginning, God helps the person. And after that, the person serves his surface in a wholesome way by himself, with the two lines of Torah from above and Tzedakah from below. That means learning Torah with the brain in one's head, keeping the mitzvah with the 248 limbs of the body, and there's actually a book called Sefer HaCharedim, which shows that every single limb of the body has got a particular mitzvah associated with it. And through this effort that we make with our own effort, we receive also, there's the idea that if you do something with your one measure, then you receive the nine measures of your friend. And here it's explaining your friend means God. God is our friend. And if we work with one measure of our own being, then God will give us the nine other measures. And this is our friend. Uses the word chavero, his friend. And there's another verse, Re'acha v'Re'a Avicha. your friend and the friend of your father, do not leave him. That is the Holy One, bless you. And that's why this is in the Haftorah. Now, it's in the Haftorah, it's not in the actual Seder reading, because the whole idea of reading a Haftorah came from a time of persecution and exile, that the non-Jews, the reigning power, whether the Romans or the Greeks, they wouldn't allow us to read the actual five books of Moses, so we read something from the prophets, which somehow was similar. And so that is an expression of exile in itself. And we end off, Zion will be redeemed through justice, through Torah, because everything goes to the final quality, and the final verse in the Haftorah is that, and through the service, these two types of movement, from above to below and below to above, Torah and Mitzvah, we come very quickly to the actual keeping of that concept of Zion, now back to the geographical Zion, meaning Jerusalem, the temple. Zion will be redeemed through Torah. Its exiles, the Jewish people, will be redeemed through Tzedakah, with the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu, swiftly in our days, March.
All right.